has made it possible for us to be among the living this morning. Like I always say, if He, the Lord, opens our eyes to understand what transpired while we were asleep last night, I believe we appreciate Him the more this morning. So just open your mouth knowing for a fact that He, the Lord, fought for us. Just begin to appreciate Him for His loving kindness. Thank Him for the gift of life. There are many people who woke up yesterday just like you, but this morning they couldn't give account of their lives. Not that we are righteous or we are holy, as the reason the Lord has kept us now, but it's because of His loving kindness. He's not yet done with us, but there are still activities He wants to do with us. Just open your mouth, begin to appreciate this good God. Thank Him for your family. Thank Him for your children. Thank Him for your husband. Thank Him for your loved ones, your parents. Begin to appreciate this God. Thank Him for who He is. Open your mouth and talk to Him. Yes, Jesus. Appreciate Him. Appreciate Him. Appreciate Him. Appreciate Him. Appreciate Him. Wherever you are connected all over the world,
my very soul will shine.
Wherever you are all over the world,
hallelujah.
Open your voice and appreciate this good God. Thank Him for who He is. Thank Him for who He is. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Oh, yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Consider His goodness. His goodness. His loving kindness. All He has done for us. All. All. Yes, Jesus. Our soul. Oh, continually. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Father. Yes, Jesus.
When I think of the goodness of Jesus, and all He has done for me,
pray. Our God and our Father, creator of the heavens and the earth, You rightly says in Your word that unto You shall the people gather. Papa, we are gathered here this morning from all over the world, the seven continents of this earth, Lord. Jehovah, we've come, my Father, first and foremost to appreciate You for being our God, for giving us reason to be among the living, Lord. Papa God, we've come, Jehovah, also for You to touch us. Not only touching us, Jehovah, to make Your word real to us once again, Father. I do beg of You in any way, God, we've wronged against You, knowing and unknowingly, through our actions, through our behaviors, and things we've done, and things we failed to do, Holy Father. I do have mercy upon us. Open our hearts this morning, not only to receive Your word, but to receive Your blessings also, Jesus. Papa, we commit the service unto Your hand, even from this Bible study down to the benediction. Let Your spirit take charge, God. All the men You're going to use, women You're going to use today. Papa, let them all, let us all disappear, appear in us, Jehovah, for the sake of Your congregation. At the end, Your name alone will be highly exalted, Jesus. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Put your hands together to the Lord as you take your seat in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. The angels of the Lord, they are now in charge. They're in charge now. And He, the Lord, will bless us in the name of Jesus. Okay, I quickly want to move straight to what we have today, because today is a unique service and I wouldn't want to waste our time or to exceed my given time. So I want us, please pay a keen attention to the readings of the scriptures, because in here lies the tenets of our faith. In here lies the rudiments. In here lies that which made us gather here. And if you don't understand The physical Bible, I wonder how we understand where we are going or where we are now. So that is why these teachings are very serious, that we take them to heart. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, today we are now in part 20 of a Pauline episode. I've tried as much as I could not to rush the Pauline episode, to take it a step at a time in order to give us time, or give us a very good bearing to understand the uniqueness of the Bible, and also the ministry of Paul, for us to take it more seriously. Last week, God helping us, we tried to look at the Roman history, bringing down the Roman history, marrying it to the things we have in the scriptures, and we can see the Bible was perfectly written by men of understanding, that even the Roman history couldn't dispute the fact of the writings of the scriptures. Please put your hands together for the writers of the scriptures. Hallelujah. So the writers of Roman history, they didn't write it because they wanted to favor the Bible. They wrote it because that was actually what history was as of that time. And then we can see the harmony, the synergy between history and the Holy Scriptures. Hallelujah. So we still remember we are in Rome, where our father Apostle Paul is still in prison. And those who came down to Rome to hear the verdict or the court proceedings, if your hotel bill is finished, you kindly meet our brother there with suit. He will help you with the money to pay your hotel bill in Rome as we continue to see the end of Paul's life. Please put your hands to our brother there. He will help you with your hotel fee. And if your visa is about to expire, our own brother there can help you extend your visa. He will help you extend your visa. Nobody is leaving Rome until we see the end of Paul's trial. Hallelujah. So today, by the grace of God, we want to look at why Paul was in incarceration for 2 years. We want to look at his activities, just like we saw in the previous time. The first activity was for him to invite the Jewish community where he preached the gospel to them. Now, we are looking further now to some of his activities that he was doing while in incarceration. He didn't sleep. He wasn't there crying, but he was doing some activities there. We are going to look at them today. Hallelujah. So looking at the slides that we have today, the outline, Paul's prison activities, his prison activities. Again, we will look at the four prison letters. The four prison letters. Again, we will look at Paul's prison location at the time of writing. So the time he was writing these prison letters, where was Paul then? Because why are we bringing it up? Because in the Christendom, there are also schools of thought that says, no, Paul was in this place, he was in this place. So we are bringing out those schools of thought, and we allow the scripture and our understanding so far to answer the question. Hallelujah. Again, we'll look at the prison epistle to the church in Philippines. So today, specifically, we'll be looking at the book of Philippians, the book of Philippians, and God will help us to bring up some knowledge that we never knew before. And again, we'll look at Paul's second missionary journey. We'll just touch it because we want to give a bearing to that which we have today. Again, we'll look at Paul's follow-up evangelism. Look at Paul in Philippines. We'll look at visitors from the church in Philippines. Then we'll look at the purpose for the letter to the Philippine church. The book of Philippians that we have today, we want to see how did it come about? What originated the writings of the book of Philippians? Some people thought that Paul was sleeping somewhere and he heard a voice while he was sleeping, Paul, Paul, Paul. Okay, take your pen and your book. It's the time to write the book of Philippians. Lie, lie, nothing of such. Everything you see that is recorded in the scripture was bettered out of a physical activity. Something gave rise to it. So we want to see what gave rise to the writing of the book of Philippians. So when you are reading the book of Philippians after now, you can have this knowledge of what brought about it, and you appreciate both the church in Philippines and also appreciate the writer of the book of Philippians. Again, we'll look at the structure of the book of Philippians, and finally, we'll see the list of Paul's second and third missionary episode. Hallelujah. So before we begin, can somebody help me? Help me just tell me, what was that I wanted to ask? Okay, I want somebody to help us. How did the book of Philippians come about? Let me see our broader knowledge to this before we continue. The book of Philippians that we have in the scripture, who can just give me in a summary, how did that book come about to be embedded in the scriptures? I have my professor that is warming up, but let another person help us. Hallelujah. Is anyone willing just to tell us how the book of Philippians came about? Or you are still of the school of thought that Paul was sleeping in the revelation and God began to download those things to him, and immediately he woke up, he called Timothy. Timothy, give me that pen. Before this revelation, we run away. It's still fresh. And Timothy brought pen and book. He began to write. Is anybody helping us? Okay, nobody is helping us. So, okay, let us pay a keen attention now as we will unfold how the book of Philippians came about. Hallelujah. Okay, the next slide. The next slide. Amen. IT, please help us today with these slides. We are really moving on a very fast pace. Okay, Paul's prison activities. Like we've known before, Dr. Luke gave us some of the list of Paul's activities during his 2 years imprisonment in Rome, which includes some of those activities Paul engaged himself with while in prison. These are some. One is receiving visitors from all over the world. Paul, while was in prison, he was allowed to receive visitors from all over the world. And the second activities that he was doing there was also preaching the kingdom of God. So we have those Bible references. Let's just see the book of Acts 28, 30 and 31 to buttress that very point of our bearing. He said, and Paul dwelt 2 years in his own hired house and received all, are you hearing it now? And received all that came in unto him. So Paul was receiving visitors. And the second one is preaching the kingdom of God. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So the 2 points we brought out, receiving visitors and also preaching the gospel, we pointed it out there. Now we want to look at receiving visitors. Who are those visitors that were coming to see Paul in prison? So we say some of the visitors that visited Paul in Roman prison were leaders from the churches he planted during his second missionary journey. Hallelujah. So some of those visitors that visited him in prison were leaders of churches. When they heard Paul was in prison, they said, let us have leadership meeting. And immediately, Brother Jayola, Prophet Boboyi, Prophet Sunday, please, you have to go to Rome to visit Apostle Paul. So these are the leaders that went there to visit Paul, and as we move on, we'll see what happened. The next point, the successes from some of these visits produced, take note now, the successes from some of these visits produced 3 great letters to the churches in Ephesus, in Colossae, and in Philippine, as well as a personal letter to his friend Philemon, making it 4 prison letters. Praise Master Jesus. Now, while Paul was in Rome, he wrote 4 letters that scholars called the 4 prison letters. And those letters were what was written to the church in Ephesus. So the book of Ephesians was written while Paul was in prison. The book of Philippians was written while Paul was in prison. The book of Colossians was written while Paul was in prison. And the book of Philemon was also written while Paul was in prison. 4 prison letters. Praise Master Jesus. So as we begin to go, we now see what gave rise to the writings of these letters. Now, the 4 prison letters. We have the book of Philippians, that, like I've just said, these are the 4 prison letters. When you partition the 14 epistles of Paul, we have the pastoral letters, we have the prison letters, and we have the letters he wrote during his first and second missionary journey. I say, each of the episodes above includes a clear internal reference of the writer's prison surrounding. So we want to give cushion to these books to depict the fact that Paul was actually in the prison surrounding when these books were written. For example, let us see the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, and quickly Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20. Ephesians 3, verse 1. He said, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." So he, writing to the Ephesian church, he actually mentioned that he is a prisoner of Jesus Christ for them Gentiles. And verse 20, he said, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds," ambassador in prison. So he's writing them, now that I'm writing, I am an ambassador in prison. So we could see the prison surrounding in the letter to the Ephesus. Let's go down to the letters to the Philippians. We can see Philippians chapter 1, verse 7, 13, 14, and 17. I think we just take those two ones. We move ahead. Maybe next week we look at others. The book of Philippians chapter 1. It says, "Even as it is meant for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds," both in my bonds, in chain, he was in prison, "and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace." Let's see verse 13 of that Philippians chapter 1, verse 13. "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace." So this is another clue that he was writing from within the palace. So his bond, his incarceration in Christ is manifest in all that is in the palace and all other places. Praise Master Jesus. So go back to the slide. So we see prison surrounding in the writer's tone of the letter. Praise Master Jesus. Can you go back to that slide? Are we done with that slide? Okay, go back to the next slide. Paul's prison location at the time of writing. Like I said, there are different schools of thought as of the location Paul was. Some said these prison letters were written from Caesarea. Others said it was written from Ephesus. And a large number of the Christians agree that it was written from Rome. So I said, these are the three schools of thought as to the prison location of Paul as at the time of writing the prison epistles. The schools of thought, like I've said, some say Caesarea, some say Ephesus, some say Rome. So as Christians and as students of the scriptures, it is good you have this knowledge. So when you engage with others that have another school of thought different from yours, you could ascertain where they are coming from. It helps you to understand facetly where others are coming from. So I say Caesarea and Ephesus have been suggested as Paul's possible location when he wrote the prison episode, because he spent 2 years also in Caesarea prison. We are familiar with that. He spent 2 years under Governor Felix, and later he appealed to Caesar. So we want to look at the possibilities why Ephesus and Caesarea actually will not be the proper location of the writing. I say the option of the other two locations will not be possible because the opportunity to receive visitors and preach the gospel were limited during his prison time in Caesarea. We were here the days I took it. So he had a limited access to visitors and the rest. So he wouldn't have been comfortable to write those episodes there. I said the letter to the church in Philippines expresses hope for a favorable verdict, which would have only been possible in Rome, because the possibility of him getting freedom in Kasede actually was very dim. They wanted him to bribe his way out, or rather to succumb to the authority of the Sanhedrin so that he will be released. So Paul's in that Bible verses we've seen, he has hope of being released without being pressured. So which means he must be in Rome for this. Let's have the next slide. I say Caesarea and Ephesus has been suggested as Paul's possible location when he wrote the prison episode, because he spent 2 years in Caesarea prison. Okay, we've taken that. I say in his prison episode, Paul expected the decision in his case to be final, which would have been evicted from Caesar. So in that Bible points I have placed there, if you read them, Paul was actually speaking that he's expecting to be released and his verdict will be final. And that wouldn't have been possible if it was actually in Caesarea. I said, but in Caesarea, Paul appealed his case to Caesar, which means Rome would have been the perfect location of writing. And again, this is the better nugget. Again, Dr. Paul would have indicated in the book of Acts, like he did with other episodes, if Caesarea was actually the location of writing the prison episode. Like we saw other episode we've brought out, the other 6 episode, it was Luke that told us about those episodes. So if the prison episode was actually written in Caesarea, certainly Dr. Luke also would have told us about this one. So we are coming to the term with the larger number of Christianity that these prison episodes were written from Rome. Hallelujah. Please put your hands together for that last school of thought. So, since we have established this unique fact that the prison episodes actually was written from Rome, let us take these episodes one after the other, starting with the letter to the church in Philippines. Hallelujah. Give me the last slide, letters to the church in Philippines, the book of Philippines that we have today. I said to understand what brought about this letter, where we employ the advice of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, where he says, we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Now the point, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we want to divide the word of truth this morning in order actually to bring out what brought about the book of Philippians. Hallelujah. Now, the church in Philippines was planted by Paul during his second missionary journey. So let's see a summary of that second missionary journey. Remember, those who started with us, when he finished his first missionary journey, Paul went back to Antioch of Syria. Remember, we say we have two Antiochs, the Antioch of Pisidia and the Antioch of Syria. So the Antioch of Syria then was the home church of Paul. So when Paul was to go for any missionary journey, he first of all goes to report to the pastor in charge. He comes to the pastor, he said, I have finished what God has sent me, but I see the Spirit of God leading me to this area again. And the pastor and the elders of the church will gather around Paul, they pray for him, and Paul again continues his missionary journey. Don't forget, whenever he comes back home, Paul was under a pastor. So he comes in the church and fellowship with the brethren just as every other person. So on his second missionary journey, he sets off now from Antioch, the church in Antioch, and he moves to Sicilia. Sicilia also, that happens to be the home of Barnabas. So that is in Tarsus. So he left there. He went back to Lystra and Derbe. So Lystra and Derbe, these are part of the church of Galatians. The book of Galatians, these are the churches. There are four churches there that made up the book of Galatians. So he went back there to see how they were doing. And while he was there wanting to further his preaching in Asia, the Spirit of God through the man from Macedonia called and says, Paul, come down to Macedonia and help us. So that was how he stopped his activities in Asia and he moved to Europe. Now, in going to Europe, Philippines is the first location that he came into in Europe. Praise Master Jesus. Now, when we look at Europe, we look at the places he went to. He went to Philippines. He went to Thessalonica. He went to Berea. He went to Athens. He went to Corinth. And these are the three places we first saw are what makes up the Macedonia. You hear Paul say, the church in Macedonia are the ones who send help. So when Paul makes that statement that it was only those in Macedonia, he's talking about these three churches that are under the umbrella of Macedonia that happens to be either Philippine, Thessalonica, or Berean. Praise Master Jesus. And when we look at the larger hub, we see these five places to be under our present Greece. The nation Greece in Europe is actually where we are now in the book of Philippians. So those in Greece, we are now in Europe in your country. So prepare amala and a wudu for us. We want to eat in Greece. So Philippines is actually in our present, not Philippines in Asia. There is one in Asia, in Southeast Asia. Philippines, no, not that one. We are talking of this very one under the umbrella of Macedonia. So when Paul left there, he went back again to his home church. So let's see his activities around Philippines that brought about the writings of the book of Philippians that we have today. The next slide. Now, Paul's follow-up evangelism. I say Paul visited the churches he planted in Galatia. Remember, the first missionary journey was when he planted the church in Iconium, the church in Lystra, the church in where? In Derbe. These are the church he planted that made up the church of Galatians. Now, we knew after this, they had the Jerusalem Council meeting where they concluded some certain things. So, Paul brought the letters that was given by the elders from their vendit in the Jerusalem Council. So, he was taking this letter now back to the churches he planted during his first missionary journey. So, that was what brought him to the region of Galatia. So, Jerusalem Council letter was delivered to those churches he planted. Praise Master Jesus. Now, in Lystra, he invested young Timothy. So, Timothy actually was a product of his first missionary journey. So, Timothy was a little young boy that the mother was dragging up and down. I believe he was still wearing pampers then. And during that experience, Paul was beaten mercilessly. I believe that would have raised the curiosity of Timothy to ask his mother, "Mommy, what has this young man done now that they beat him like this?" And the mommy will say, "You won't understand now." And that made Timothy to fall in love with the activities of Paul, and he gave his life to Christ. So when Paul came back on his second missionary journey, they presented Timothy to him that from your first missionary journey that you came, this young boy gave his life to Christ. And that was how Paul said, "Wow, you are still young," and he held him to the hand. And that was how Timothy joined the team of evangelists. Don't forget, Silas was actually here. Silas was in the ministry before Timothy came. So Timothy joined Paul, joined Silas, and joined other ministers for that mission. Somebody shout hallelujah. So I am giving the Bible verses so you can read them because of our time. So the Holy Spirit asked them to leave Asia. Just like I said, the voice of the man crying in Macedonia, "Please come and save us." And immediately that was how Paul left Asia and went to Europe. So he received the Macedonia call in Troas. So Dr. Luke joined the missionary team of Paul in Troas, and Paul sailed into Europe. So we are properly now in Europe. Let's see from the last slide what happened in Europe. Now in Philippines, we are now talking about the book of Philippians that we have today. Paul now is in Philippines in Macedonia, Macedonia in Greece. Let us bring it down to our level. Paul where? Paul in Alausa. Alausa in Lagos. Lagos in Nigeria. Put your hands together for me now. I try some more. Paul in Alausa. Alausa in Lagos. Lagos in Nigeria. So this is the picture we are having now. So in Philippines, Paul got Lydia. Lydia was Paul's first convert, a woman. Please, women, put your hands together for yourselves. Yes, Paul got his first convert in the shore of Europe. So the little girl we do here that was making money for his master through soothsaying, the incident actually happened in Europe. So when the pastor is now preaching and the little girl was shouting, Paul, 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 immediately, because of this knowledge, your antenna will just tune to Philippines, because you know actually what happened. So the girl with the spirit of divination was delivered in Philippines. Paul received 39 strokes in Philippines, where they flogged them for delivering this girl. The activity actually happened in Philippines, in Europe. Paul and Silas cast into the prison. The activity happened there in Philippines. Paul and Silas, they pray. After praying, they sang. After singing, the Holy Ghost came. The Holy Ghost came down in Philippines while they were in the prison. So you see in the pictures now, the jailer and the household became Christian in Philippines. When the Holy Spirit came down, their chains were broken. The prison door was open. The jailer took knife to kill himself, thinking they've escaped. But them not escaping, that was how the jailer became Christian. One, we have Lydia, who is already Christian. We are seeing now the jailer and the whole family, they become Christian. So certainly, Paul would have connected the jailer and Lydia together. Church have started, though, where two or three are gathered in my name. I am there. So two or three now, they are gathering in the name of Jesus in Philippines. So Paul declared his Roman citizenship in Philippines. The first time he declared who he was in Philippines when they wanted to send him out unceremoniously. And he said, no, I'm a Roman citizen. And they apologized to him. So take note now, take note now. Those who believed in Philippines, Mrs. Lydia, the jailer's family, and many others Luke didn't mention, they congregated and became a church. Are you seeing it now? So Lydia, the jailer family, and many others Paul converted that we don't know here, they congregated and they became a church. That was how the church in Philippines was born. Put your hands together for the Lord. So this was how the church in Philippines that Paul later wrote to, that we see now, it was actually a physical church like the church in Egesia. Paul was not sleeping and the spirit began to dictate. No, I'm giving us a physical activities of what actually happened. So that, like my brother said last Sunday, I don't forget that word. He said the teachings is making the Bible to be more real. So this is how it actually supposed to be. So some of the elders of the church in Philippines that congregated, some of the elders from this church were the ones that visited Paul in Rome. The church in Philippines now, when they heard Paul is already incarcerated in Philippines, the church came together, appointed some elders with the leadership of Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus. So with his leadership, they now went to visit Paul. We are getting the pictures now. The next slide. Okay. So the church in Philippines was the first church planted by Paul on the shores of on the European soil. The first church. So our brethren, if you are in Philippines, please raise your shoulder high. At least you are the firstborn church in the area of Philippines. So the province of Macedonia in our present day Greece. So upon learning that Paul has been in prison in Rome, the church in Philippines sent Epaphroditus, one of their leaders, to Rome. Let's see that in the book of Philippians. Now we are entering Philippians now. The book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 25. Let's see that very quickly. So it says, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, sorry, forgive me, my brother, and companion, he said, and a companion in labor, and fellow soldiers. Take note now. But what? But what? But what? But your messenger, and he that ministered to my one. So Epaphroditus is the Philippine church messenger. So we want to see now the message that this church sent him that he went about to deliver. So we see that again, they sent him with some financial aid for their pastor and brother Paul. So let's see that in Philippians chapter 4, 18 and 19. Okay, thank you. The man is very fast now. He said, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of who? Having received, remember, he was their messenger. Now the message that they sent him, Paul is acknowledging that he have received what they sent him with. Having received of Epaphroditus, these things which we are sent from you, from the church of Philippines, that which you sent Epaphroditus to, I have received it. And Paul continues to say, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. Church, put your hands together for Jesus. So, that was actually what brought Epaphroditus to Rome to deliver financial aid and other things to Paul. So Epaphroditus, after this visit, returned to the church in Philippines with appreciation letter. So another name for the book of Philippines is a letter of appreciation. Yes, now, Oga, I sent you money. You say thank you. I said, no, it's not only me that contributed this money. We reached 20. Please, can you put your appreciation letter so that I will give it to them? He said, okay. So it was an appreciation letter that Oga wrote to thank those who contributed money for him, was now what we are seeing as the book of Philippines. Praise Master Jesus. Are we on the same page? So, appreciation letter of what they sent to Paul while he was in prison. And not only that, remember, Paul planted the church, which means he also knows some of the people by name and in person. So definitely, he must have asked Epaphroditus, how is Pastor Smart doing? He said, he's doing fine. What of Pastor Lumide? He's doing fine. What is happening in the church? Certainly, Epaphroditus has also intimated him the outward problem they were having and the inner problems they were having. So Paul used that opportunity of the appreciation letter to itemize all these problems and counsel them as a father to them. Put your hands together for the Lord. So, like I'm saying, it's appreciation letter. The book of Philippians, in other words, can be known as a letter of appreciation for Paul to the church for their support. So you can read that that very verse. You will see it broken down. In fact, let's take that. Let's take Philippians 4. 10 to 12, we won't get to 18. Philippians 4, 10 to 12. Say, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care, you see, your care for me has flourished again. Now the word again is showing this was not actually the first time they are giving out what I call Macedonia handshake. I call it Macedonia handshake. It's not the first time, it's their routine taking care of Paul. He said, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked the opportunity. They lacked the opportunity. Maybe they didn't see who to send to, or they were hindered with so many things. It's okay. Go back to the slide. So, I say Epaphroditus also used that opportunity to furnish with some of the challenges of the church in Philippines. Like I've just said, it's not just going there. Remember, he spent some time there. And even spending some time, he fell sick there, and later he recovered. So, he and Paul, they've been discussing, telling some of the issues in a Philippine church. So let's see one of those likely issues in the book of Philippians. Give me chapter 3, 1 to 3. Let's see. He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same thing to you. To me, indeed, it's not grievous, but for you, it is saved. Let's see some of those things. He said, beware of dogs. So, actually, this is born out of what he heard about some people, Jewish people he termed as dog. The Jewish people who is trying to subvert their understanding. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. Verse 3, he said, for we are the circumcision. You see now, he's speaking, when you read this, you know he's speaking from an information. He's speaking from an information. He said, we are the circumcision. So he's now invariably with this statement saying that the outward Jews, they are not the real people of the circumcision, because Epaphroditus has studied the infiltration of the outward Jude in the church. So he's trying to put a balance. He said, which worship God in the spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in flesh. So anybody who is coming to the church of Philippines to say, circumcise yourself. No, that is not what I have told you people. They are dogs, they are evil workers. Please run away from them. Paul spoke this out of information. Praise Master Jesus. Okay, let's have the likely another issue he was addressing. And give me that Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. Go back to the slide we've not gotten here. The previous slide, please. The previous slide. Okay, Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. Another likely problem Paul was actually addressing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. Can we read that very quickly? Take note now. I beseech, I admonish, for him to have mentioned the names of people shows that he was informed about these people, because they weren't the only people in the church to have picked their two names and made this statement. He said, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Most probably, Paul must have asked, how is this sister? He says, she's fine. Hey, what of the other sister? Those two people, their fight not be small. They can't fight with their fighter. It takes the Spirit of God to separate them. So upon that, he's admonishing those two people, they should come in the same mind in Christ Jesus. Praise Master Jesus. We are talking of a physical church. So this was actually some of the things that gave birth to the writings of the book of Philippians that we have. So the next slide, please. So he also informed him that the church was facing opposition from the outside as well as fair amount of strife and a division within, just like I just explained. And I say, in that letter, Paul prayed for them and also poured his heart to them in sermon about Christ and Christianity. So after he admonished them, he began now to tell them things about Christ and prayed for them. Now, the purpose for the letter to the Philippines, the purpose. First, I say to thank the Philippine church for their financial aid in the time of his need, just like I've just explained. The second purpose was that was not the first time the church have extended their Macedonian handshake. So you can read that out again in 2 Corinthians. They've done that many times. It's not the first time. You can read it in the book of Philippians too, because of our time. I say, this letter was also a response to those things Epaphroditus reported to Paul that was happening in the church, just like we've seen, and Paul addressed it. He said, he then uses this opportunity of their visit to admonish them to have confidence in spite of all his troubles and theirs too. It's not only Paul that was in trouble in prison. They themselves, they were having some little issues from outside influence and within. So Paul also encouraged them with the book of Philippians that we have today. So he pleaded with them to have the humble attitude of Christ, not to be controlled by self-ambition and pride. So that is in Philippians 2. When you read 1 to 30, you will see the full picture. But verse 5 is the nugget. He said, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. So that was actually what he was telling them as a church. So he reminds them that their life is in Christ was a gift of grace and not of the obedience of ceremonies of the Jewish law. Just like we've seen, asking them to discard the Jewish circumcision by flesh. So he's telling them the grace we have is the grace in Christ and not of the flesh. So the letter lays emphasis on joy. You will hear Paul say, rejoice forevermore. Again, I say rejoice. Even while he was in prison, Paul was full with joy. So the letter lays emphasis on joy, confidence, unity, and perseverance in Christ. So this is what Paul admonishes us even today. In whatever problem we are, we should make out from this problem, be joyful, we should be perseverance in whatever we are pursuing. Somebody shout hallelujah. Give me the next slide. So this is the structure of the book of Philippians. The structure of the book of Philippians. when you are reading it, introduction, you see Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 7 is actually introduction. Let's just take verse 1 of chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. So it says, Paul and Timothy are the servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippines, with bishops and the deacons. So when you read down, the structure is that chapter 1 to verse 7 is actually the introductory part of the book of Philippians. Now, the rebody, Christ, the Christian life. When you look at this, it says rejoice in spite of suffering. So you can see that now from chapter 1, 8 to 30, he's building the confidence of the Christian. In the face of your trial, in the face of your problems, you have to rejoice and don't allow your problems to be written all over you. That when you check the picture of chapter 2, 1 to 30, the structure there is that Christ is the Christian pattern. We have to pattern our life after Christ. There is nothing anyone is passing through that Christ or his disciples had not passed or gone through those things. So when we read these scriptures, it helps us to know that we are to pattern our life after Christ. And how did Christ pattern his life? Rejoicing in lowly service. Praise Master Jesus. So when we look at chapter 3 from verse 1 to 21, we see Christ the object of the Christian faith. So we don't have any object again. We don't have any man they have called saint or any woman we should pray through to get to God. But Christ is our desire and our expectation. Anything outside Christ, we are not of it. So this is the structure Paul actually placed for the church in Philippines. And when we check out the fifth point, Christ, the Christian strength. You will hear Paul saying, rejoice forevermore, rejoice. In the face of anxiety, he said, rejoice through anxiety. And that also can be seen from chapter 4, 1 to 9. So when you are reading the book of Philippians, you look at the structures. This will help you surmount every challenges that come around. And the concluding part of it is in Philippians chapter 4 from verse 10 to 23. That is the concluding part of it. Let us see, think the next slide. No, I'm not reading it. I believe they are writing it down because of our time. The next slide. Okay, you want me to read it? Say, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care for me has flourished again. Okay, we've read it before. So when you read it down to 23, you will see Paul's conclusion. So Paul's second and third missionary episodes. So having known from our previous lectures, those who have been following us, Paul's second and third missionary episodes include these ones. So while he was in his second and third missionary journey, he wrote the book of Galatians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and the book of Romans. So other books that was acclaimed Paul's authorship, we don't know when he wrote them, but now we've added the book of Philippians now to Paul's authorship because we've now seen where that book comes from. So the book of Philippians is one of Paul's prison episodes. It's now added to the list of Paul's writing. When we count this now, Galatians 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We said Paul wrote 14 books. We've now, through the dividing of the scriptures, we've been able to extract 7. What happened to the next 7? When was it written? Who wrote it? What events brought about the writings of those episodes? Next week, God helping us, we will continue with other Roman prison episode. God bless you. So very quickly, let me entertain one or two questions. That is why I quickly rushed. Now we see how the book of Philippians and the scriptures was written. It didn't fall from heaven. It's not a white man letter. It was born out of a physical activity. It's not a white man letter. Okay, let me hear. God bless you, sir.
Thank you very much, sir.
God bless you, sir.
Sir, please, in the book of Philippians chapter 1,
okay,
We mentioned there Paul and Timothy.
Yes.
Are we meant to understand that both of them wrote the book?
Amen. Okay, at the time of Paul writing this book, Timothy visited him. Timothy was with him. Remember, he was in a rented house. It was his own house. And the Lord permitted him to allow as many visitors that he wanted. So Timothy being his own son, as of that time, remember, Timothy was not part of those that came to Rome with him. So like Epaphroditus visited him, Timothy also visited him. But as a son now to him, Timothy was also going to different errands. So as of the time of writing, Timothy was with him in a room in his own rented house as a prison. God bless you, sir. Okay, my professor. God bless you, my yes.
So there's one particular style when he comes with his greetings.
Yes.
He normally says mercy, peace from God and to his son Jesus Christ, something like that.
And our Lord Jesus
and
Christ.
And our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Is Jesus Christ not God? Must he mention the two?
Hallelujah. Paul actually differentiates the offices. So when he's talking about Christ and God and using and, you know, and is conjunction. So he's talking about the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he's talking about God, he's talking about the great Elohim that no one have seen, no eyes have seen. But the person of Jesus, we've seen him, who is the express image. Remember the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, the rock that was cut off without hand came, and that rock actually is Christ. So when this is a rock, okay, come, no verse, okay, come. This is the full rock, and this hand is removed from the rock, and this hand is here. What are you going to call this? The rock is here, and this hand removed without hand from the rock, and this hand is here. Is this also a rock? It's not a rock. What is it?
Part of the rock.
You say part of the rock. No, we want to identify this as an individual. Is this a rock or water? You are a professor now. You are a professor. Is this rock or water?
Rock.
Not rock. Not rock. We have to call it for what it is. Praise Master Jesus. So that is the rock. So when he's identifying Christ and he makes such statements, we know where he's coming from. He's looking at the physical activity of the man Jesus that we've seen. But when we want to take it to the Godhead, we have the great Elohim. He is the one, that rock that left and came into the womb of Mary that was not impregnated. So that is a long teaching for you to understand it. But take it, the great rock, the Elohim, left by himself. Nobody brought him out. Decided to go into the womb of a virgin. And that rock dwells in the womb of the virgin. God bless you. Okay, lastly, any question or contribution? Amen.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, yes, sir.
God bless you.
Hello?
We are listening. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, this is for Ilya. They're calling from Bautis.
God bless you.
Yes. When you were doing something, you made mention of something that I want to be sure of.
Okay.
You said Apostle Paul, whenever he come back to his church he established, is will be under a pastor.
Okay.
Am I right, sir?
No, I didn't say the church he established. The church in Antioch was already established before church Paul became a member, and he used the church that was established even before he got converted. He now made the church his home church. So the church was not established by Paul. The church in Antioch was not established by Paul. And the church was even established before Paul got converted. So if you had followed us it was Barnabas that went to Paul's village and brought Paul to the church in Antioch and introduced Paul to the pastor of the church of Antioch and told the pastor of the church of Antioch the story of Paul, how Paul used to kill Christians, and now Paul have repented. And the whole church, the Bible even says they were glorifying God for on behalf of Paul without knowing who Paul was in physical until Barnabas brought him to that church. And immediately Paul became a minister in the church of Antioch. He was not the one who planted the church in Antioch. Is that correct?
Okay, thank you, sir. God yes, sir.
You. God bless you.
Very well.
God bless you. Put your hands together for the Lord. Thank you for that question. Okay, since no other questions, because of our special service today, hopefully God helping us. Next week, we will see how the book of Ephesus, remember, the church of Ephesus by now is already planted. Paul has planted it, but there was no letter written to them. So by next week, we will now see what brought about the book of Ephesus. So the Lord will help us. Look again, the book of Colossians. Paul was not the one who planted the church of Colossians, but he wrote to them. So God helping us next week, we will see how all these things came about so we can appreciate this scripture as the infallible word of God. And he, the Lord, will bless us in the name of Jesus. Let us be on our feet and just begin to wave our hands in appreciation unto God.